Yes, Father, Lord, we long for your embrace. And Father, we thank you that you've already paved the way for us to draw near to you. And Father, this morning, as we come together, Lord, that is exactly what we're longing for. Father, we want to see you more clearly. We want to understand you more deeply. We want to worship you more richly. Father, would you please take away the cares of this world? Father, would you refresh us, Lord? Return to us the joy of our salvation, Lord. And Father God, Lord, just reveal yourself to us afresh and anew. And Lord, change us. We need to be changed, Lord. And so, Father, this morning as we peel open your word, may it peel open our heart and may you implant the seed of your word deeply, Lord, and that we would bear fruit. Father, we love you, praise you, honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Just signal to them as they walk up and down the aisle. If you decide that you need the Bible and you want to take it home, don't worry, take it. We'll take it out of the usher's paycheck. So just take his name so we know who to charge for it. I'm joking. They are free to take, though. If you need a Bible and you promise to read it, take it. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, and I've entitled our message this morning, The Enemy Within, and I've broken our message into three parts, The Real War, Rebellious Works, and The Right Way. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you. Breathe upon us afresh and anew and give us the ability to retain and understand and apply your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this section in Galatians is dealing with good versus evil. And I've said this a couple of times, I'm always concerned when I go through Galatians because it's so focused on grace that I'm concerned that someone's going to go, well, geez, if it's all grace, then I'm just going to run out there and I'm going to sin. And I'm going to do whatever because, you know what, it's not based on my works. It's based on Jesus Christ and he forgives me. So let's just go and do it. Well, we are free. We have freedom from sin, but we don't have the freedom to run to sin. But we have freedom from sin. And so we've been looking all through Galatians at our liberty. And so as we look at our liberty, I'm concerned. And I am so thankful to Paul that he added, by the Holy Spirit, this section that deals with the fact that, yes, we are free, but we are not free to sin. And I love the way he worded it, or actually the Holy Spirit, because you'll see as we unfold this. So let's look at the rebellious works. In verse 16 through 21. And Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, walk in the Spirit. We all walk differently. Every one of us has a different walk. But do you realize that oftentimes you can tell a lot about a person by the way they walk? Sometimes we walk and we're happy and we got a bounce in our step. Sometimes we walk and we're sad and we're kind of hunched over. Sometimes we walk like this and we know we're a cowboy. You know, so, it's like, you need to stop riding that horse, man. It's not good for you. But you can tell a lot about a person by their walk. If they're overconfident, if they're conceited, you know, you can tell. Conceited person can't walk past the mirror without stopping and going, yeah. I am truly blessed. But you can tell a lot. Now, here's the thing. Our lifestyle proclaims our true priority. The way we live says a lot about what our priority is. Now, here's the thing. I can go up to your best friend, your closest friend, whether that be your spouse or your good friend, and I can say, tell me about their walk. What is the most important thing to them? And they will tell me, oh, she loves shopping or he loves fishing, or he loves his bass boat, or she loves her shoe collection, or he loves his work. He's all about his work. She's all about her children. We can find out where God falls in your life by asking the person who knows you best, because they've watched you walk. And what Paul is saying here is that we are to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the flesh here, I want you to understand this. This isn't speaking about skin and muscle and blood and bone. That's not the kind of flesh it's speaking about. It's speaking about our desires for things that are tangible in this world. Because the opposite of that is the Spirit. And the Spirit isn't tangible in this realm. He may be tangible in the heavenly realm, but here on earth, the Holy Spirit isn't tangible. We can't touch Him, taste Him, we can't see Him, but He is active in our lives when we surrender to Him. So here He's saying, don't walk according to the flesh. In other words, don't walk according to your nature. And what is my nature? What is your nature? Sin. We have a sin nature. And here's the thing. Our sin nature is just that. It's nature. It's natural. Where the Spirit is supernatural. You see, it takes a supernatural spirit to get us to overcome the flesh that is natural, because there's this battle that goes on in our life. And so he says this. Walk according to the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because you will be walking in a supernatural way. Now, notice he doesn't say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then you'll be walking in the Spirit. See, that's what we try to do, brothers and sisters. That is what we try to do. And you say, what are you talking about? Listen, I get people who come up to me all the time. Pastor Randy, I've got this sin in my life. I want it out, but I'm struggling with it. And I try to quit, and I try to quit, and I try to quit because I want to be more godly. That's backwards. And we'll talk about that in more detail. He says here, walk according to the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So hang that on your belt, and we'll look at that in more detail. The way to overcome is by walking in the Spirit. But the problem we have, brothers and sisters, and I'm with you. I'm talking to all of us. The problem we have is we have an enemy within. See, the Bible says that I am drawn away to sin by my own fleshly desires. Sometimes people say, oh, the devil made me do it. Or certain churches or people will say, ooh, you got the demon of alcohol, or you got the demon of drugs, or demon of pornography, or demon of this, demon of that. And it's like, I don't need a demon. My natural bent is for sin. Your natural bent is for sin. It takes a supernatural spirit of God to help you and I overcome it. And so that's what Paul is going to lay out for us. Watch this. Verse 17. Dealing with the enemy within. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Basically, what Paul is saying is that inside of you, inside of me, it's a battle royale. He's saying, ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing 95 pounds. I don't know how much you weigh, Susan. 95? Don't tell me. Okay. Susan, in the black trunks, weighing 95 pounds. And in this corner, we have the Holy Spirit in the white trunks, weighing nothing, because the Spirit doesn't weigh anything. And then there's this battle going on daily. He says this, the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Every morning you get up, you should be hearing, let's get ready to rumble. Because you have to fight against your flesh to walk according to the Spirit. It's a battle. Every single day, it's a battle. Because our nature comes to us naturally, but God's Spirit comes to us supernaturally. Notice what he says here. So that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, brothers and sisters, admit it. We are drawn to sin. I'm drawn to sin. You're drawn to sin. Billy Graham is drawn to sin. We are all drawn to sin. It's our nature. We have to purposefully and willfully seek God in order to overcome it. Before I was saved, I was an alcoholic, pothead, methamphetamine dealer to supply my habit. And by the way, I'm not going to say anything again. If you've gone through a 12-step program, that's great. But for me, when I turned away from all those things, it was one step. I gave my life to Jesus, and he took it all. But I had to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Because look what he says. He says this, verse 15. 18. Gosh, I can't find my glasses, but I'm okay. Hey, I could make it bigger. That's awesome. Okay. But we learn by necessity sometimes. Okay, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Hold on a second, Pastor Randy. Aren't we all under the law? Wasn't it the Ten Commandments? Wasn't it God's law that showed us that we were sinners in need of a Savior? Yeah. Aren't we supposed to let go of the law and not try and put, because that's legalism and that's a yoke of bondage? Yeah. But what does this mean? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here's what it means. The Holy Spirit is God, right? Okay. God wrote the law, right? Okay. If I'm walking according to the Holy Spirit, who is God and who wrote the law, and I'm walking his way, he's not going to violate his law. But here's the cool part. You see, no longer if I'm walking according to the Spirit, I'm just following the Spirit. I don't even have to work at keeping the law. It comes naturally. Where legalism says, jump through this hoop, jump through this hoop, jump through this hoop. If you do that, then you'll be spiritual. But the Bible here is saying, no, seek the Spirit and you will naturally do these things, not because you have to, but because you're walking according to the Spirit. It frees us up. When Jesus said, he who I make free is free indeed, that's what he's talking about. See, I didn't go through a 12-step program on one step. I just followed God and all those things. I didn't have time for them because I was too busy following God. And I didn't even realize. One day I was like, you know, I haven't said a bad word in a year. Wow. It wasn't a chore. It wasn't a chore to give up the drugs and give up the drinking and give up the profanity. God took it, and I didn't even realize it because I was too busy following him. That's what he's been talking about. So I'm free. And you know what's so cool about it? I'm free. I am free. I don't have to do this or that. In fact, what I get is I get to have joy and peace. I get to have blessings. I get to not be under the bondage of sin. I don't get to suffer from the headaches and the hangovers and the speeding tickets and the breakups of marriages and relationships and kids and all that stuff. None of that stuff becomes a problem because I'm too busy walking in the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? But there's a problem. We have an enemy within that doesn't want us to walk according to the Spirit. We have an enemy, the flesh. And so we come to the rebellious works in verse 19 through 21 as we look at the enemy within. Look at 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and alike. In fact, there's a longer list. He's just giving us the short list. Thank you, Lord. Now, Real quick, just as a side note, maybe you have an NIV or a different version. I just want to real quick look at the difference between the NIV and the New King James, which I use. The NIV, well, New King James says adultery. NIV, sexual immorality. King James, fornication. NIV, purity. Impurity. King James, uncleanness. NIV, debauchery. Now, lewdness is omitted in the NIV. Then you have idolatry. You have sorcery in New King James, witchcraft in the NIV, hatred. You have contention in the New King James, discord. You have jealousies in the New King James, and jealousy, singular, in the NIV. You have outbursts of wrath in the New King James, fits of rage in NIV, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, fictitions, envy, and then in the NIV, murder is missing where it has it in the New King James, and then drunkenness, and then the New King James says revelries, and the NIV says orgies and alike. And the reason why I'm telling you that is I'm not saying don't have an NIV. I just think that it's important as Bible students, as believers in the Word, that you check to make sure you're not missing something. There are two important words missing from there. So just a little side note. But please go back to our verse and notice what he says here. The works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. Do you know that every single person knows when they are sinning, even unbelievers? Yeah. Unbelievers know you're committing adultery, not good. Unbelievers know I'm hooked on drugs, not good. Unbelievers know. Look, thieves, even unbelieving thieves know that what they're doing is wrong. That's why they do it in the dark. If they thought it was cool, they do it in the light. And they tell everyone, hey, I'm taking your stuff. But they don't because they know it's wrong. And so he says the works of the flesh are evident. You know. And it goes even further. Because, brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, and I hope you are, you have, not only do you know naturally that what you're doing is wrong, now you have an added bonus, the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. Why are you doing that? Randy, please don't do that. And then we go, but it's sin and I like it. But it's going to hurt you. But I like it. But I'm asking you not to. I'm going to do it anyway. And then the roof caves in on our sin. And we're like, God, why did you let that happen? I told you not to do it. But I get that all the time. People come in, oh, my life's falling apart. I was like, did you realize what you were doing with sin? Yeah. Well, why would God let it? God let it. Yes, you're right. God let it happen. Listen, it's the enemy within you. And I. There was a band in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, called INXS. Right. And they had this song called Devil Inside. Every single one of us, the devil. I'm like, dude, your theology is right. The only problem is they were trying to make it sound cool. You know, if you watch the video, everyone's partying because they got the devil inside. And it's like, listen, by the way, when people say, woohoo, this weekend I'm going to raise some hell. To raise hell, you have to lower yourself. People go, oh, I'm going to raise some hell. I'm like, ooh, good for you. Yay. Whatever. Been there, done that. Then you bow down to the porcelain throne there. And putting your face where it doesn't belong. But as I read that list, brothers and sisters, We must be honest with ourselves, and we must be real. As we're reading it, we're like, oh, that's terrible. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelries. Oh, gosh, that's terrible. Listen, if you really sit down and examine your life, I'd be willing to bet, I don't bet, but right there, I just sinned. I'd be willing. Listen, we've all have these things active in our life. We do. But he's not talking about someone whose life is characterized, someone whose life is dominated by habitual sin. This is referring to reoccurring activities in a Christian's life. This is not talking about the isolated, time-to-time sin that we all fall into from time to time. The difference is, when you sin, do you feel the regret and the conviction, and then do you go and make it right and repent and turn away? That's what's important. So, as we've read the list, but I want to real quick, and I'm not going to try and not take too much time. This list can actually be broken into three sections. The first section is sexual. The second section is spiritual, and the last section is relational. So let's look at the sexual section, and I want to make sure that you understand what this means. Some of them you will, but it's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Adultery, we get that. We're like, yeah, okay, I understand. That's when someone who is married or isn't married is messing around with someone who is married. Someone's married and they're not spouses and they're being active together. Not good. And you're like, whew, I don't do that. Well, you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, if you look at the opposite sex and it's not your wife or your husband with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you sat there and gone, hubba, hubba, you're a sinner, sinner. You committed adultery in your heart. In your heart. Fornication. Here you go. Fornication. Here you go. You're going to love this. The word in the Greek is porneia, where we get pornography. Fornication is any sexual perversion outside of marriage, including pornography. Two people who aren't married being together. And you get the idea. Uncleanness. Let's look at that one. Uncleanness is any immoral life. Here you go. Impure motives. Even more importantly, impure thoughts. Yikes. That's uncleanness. And lewdness is a shameless excess. Proud of your sin, ready to sin at any moment, even sometimes parading with pride your sin. That's the lewdness. And all of that comes from the enemy within. And listen, like I said, and I always quote this quite often, Alan Redpath. I love what he said. He said, The moment I step out from behind this podium, I am capable of committing every single sin that is out there, so please pray for me. I get that. Brothers and sisters, as soon as you leave that seat, you are capable of every single sin that I just read there. Don't for one moment fool yourself and think you're not or that you're above that. Let's look now at the second set, which is spiritual. This is going to be an eye-opener for some of you. The first one is idolatry. And you go, Pastor Andy, I got that one covered. I don't have any totem poles. I don't have a shrine in my... No, no, no. Listen, idolatry is anything that you put as a premium above God. Anything? Oh, yeah. Listen, for me, you know what a danger of idolatry for me is? This church. That the church becomes my God even before my God. That this position on this platform becomes more of my God than God. Your ministry, your marriage, your children, your job, your hobbies. can all become idols, even your sins. Pornea. And this next one, sorcery. Some of yours may say witchcraft. Well, the word in the Greek is pharmakia, where we get pharmacy, pharmaceuticals. This is talking about drugs. Drugs is idolatry. When you become a drug addict, you live for your drug. I know this. Why? I used to. I could pass a drug test. I could name every single one of them. Do you realize that in most, if not all, pagan religions, there is some form of sorcery, some form of drug to in order to open them up to the spiritual realm? Do you realize that? And people go, but Pastor Randy, it's natural. Like, for instance, we have, you know, Mojave Green right here, the pot house, right? We had to change our potlucks to fellowship feasts so people didn't get weirded out. But people like, they go, but Pastor Randy, it's natural. Listen, poison ivy's natural. Smoke some of that. Hey, you know what? Lead is natural. Let's shoot each other. Let me give you some natural. You give me some. See how that works. Listen, natural box jellyfish is natural. Go hug some of those. Listen, because it's natural. Listen, drugs will open you up to demonic activity. Listen, in my position, I have to go. In fact, just a week or so ago, I had to go to someone's house because they were having demonic activity. Now, sometimes I go and it's like, this isn't demonic. This is just sin in your life. But this last week when I went, I was like, okay, this is real. But then I look at the family and they're not going to church. They used to come here. I know there's drugs going on. I could tell. And they're wondering why there's demonic activity in their home. And I'm like, I can't push them out. I mean, I can pray for you, but as soon as I leave and they leave, they're going to come back. Listen, idolatry, putting something else before God, I don't care what it is. Your kids, your mom, your dad, your spouse, your job. You put it, and you know what? You want to know if that's your idol? Just ask someone who knows you best. What's first? Is God first or is the other things first? Because listen, God is a jealous God. He's not going to share his position with anything. And then pharmakia, pharmaceuticals, drugs. It opens you up to the demonic realm. It weakens your spirit. Let's move to the next set. We'll go rather quickly because it's a longer list. But we have the next set is relational. We have hatred, and we understand that. Some of them I'm not going to pick apart. Hatred, you get that. That's opposite of love. Contentions. You know what contentions is? Are complaining. You can complain about what you do have. Look at my car, that piece of junk. Which at the same time, you're complaining about what you don't have. Why can't I have a Lamborghini? That's contentious. Contentious means you're not content with what God has given you. That means you don't trust Him. Now, there is also a point in time where you're contentious because of laziness when you should be out working. You know, that's a whole nother sin, and we're not dealing with that one here. But contentious. Not being happy with what God has given you and thinking you deserve more. Thinking that you have a better plan. Jealousies. Okay, first, I don't have, and I wish I had, but now you're actually angry at the person who does have the job, the position, the marriage, the kids, the life, whatever it is that you may be jealous of. And then that can oftentimes even turn into outbursts of wrath. Anger. Screaming, yelling, throwing stuff. Then we have selfish ambitions, where you want more for me. Gimme, mine. We learned that when we were little kids. I tell you all the time, just go back there into the nursery, into the yellow room, and watch these little kids. They can't hardly talk, but boy, oh boy, they know mine, give me. And they pull, punch, get it, it's mine. And they covet. That's where our selfish ambition starts. Dissension. Oh, gosh. Dissension. That's where you try to cause division in a family, at the workplace, in church. Listen, if you love somebody, you don't want to cause division. You don't want to talk back bad about them. You want to build them up. Heresy is bad. That's bad teaching. Envy, that's kind of like jealousy. Murders, you say, I've never murdered anyone. Are you angry with someone? You have hatred towards someone? That's murder in your heart. Drunkenness and revelries alike. So you say, Pastor Randy, what a horrible list. Yeah, but listen, here you go. How about this? Have you been angry with somebody? Yeah. Have you ever gone to somebody else and talked bad about that person? Because you just wanted to vent? Guess what? That's gossip. That's backbiting. That's contentious. That's selfish ambition. You're trying to build yourself up. And that's dissension. And that's envy. And that's murder, all in the same shot. And all you did was backbite or gossip about one person. Yeah, we're guilty, people. But He loves us and is willing to forgive us if we just confess. John 1, 9 and 10. 1 John 1, 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you may be sitting there and say, I don't have any of those. Then you really need it. Because you a mess. He says, of which I tell you. Well, look at this. Of which I tell you before. So in other words, guys, listen. This list that I just read to you, none of you are surprised. You weren't like, really, murder's on there for a bad thing? I didn't know murder was bad. No, none of these are surprising to you. I'm not like, there's nothing earth-shattering or... So he says here to the people he's talking to, yeah, I've told you this before. And then he says this, just as I also told you in times past. In other words, I told you before, and I told you before that. Now I'm telling you again. Listen, sometimes you come to church, and it feels like I'm telling you the same thing. You know why? Because I need to hear it, and you need to hear it over and over again. Because we don't get it. There's a reason why God calls us sheep. Because sheep aren't too bright. They're cute. They are cute. Look at that. Like, there's some sheep over up the road there sometimes. I'm like, man, they're so cute, but they're dumb. And that's what it's like. Y'all are the cutest sheep I ever saw. You're so cute. Hey, I'm king of the losers, okay? I'm not king of anything. I'm just a loser. Yeah, you get the joke, though. Okay. Look what he says. So I've told you before, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, if you keep giving in to the enemy within, you're not going to see the glory above. So important. So now, I'm glad we're getting past that. We're getting away from the bad stuff. Let's look at the good stuff. Yay! Okay, the right way, verse 22 through 26. Oh, by the way, notice here in 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, but if you jump back, it says, the work of the flesh are evident, the works. Notice that it's the works, plural, of the flesh, but it's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Why? Why is works, plural, but fruit, singular, even though there's this long list? Well, as I said earlier, of the flesh, you or I can look at that huge list, and we can go, well, some of us might say, yeah, I struggle with one of these. Maybe someone out there said, yeah, I struggle with five of these, and it's only 11 o'clock, gosh. Maybe someone said, gosh, I got all these active in me. See, you can have some of them or all of them active on any particular day, depending on how you're fighting the battle and if you're seeking the Spirit. But if you're with the Spirit, if you're walking according, you have it all. Why? Because the next list we're going to read describes the Holy Spirit. So if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're going to be led to all of everything that's in the list. But there's something more, and we'll look at it here in a moment. Now, the thing I don't want you to do, please hear me closely. Someone, as I read this good list, the A list, the yay list, the go list, as I read this, someone's out there is going to go, all right, Pastor, thank you for the list. As soon as I leave here, I'm going to go home and I'm going to start working on these and I'm going to get them down. And next week, I'm going to come back walking in the Spirit. Wrong. That's not how you do it. Let me explain. And here's how I want to explain. Open your Bibles to John chapter 15 and we'll look at verse 1 through 8. There's a little secret that you need to know. In order to fulfill the good list, and Jesus is going to tell us. In John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, he says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, there it is, fruit. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, when God, the Father, clips the vine, which you and I are the vine, because I'm bearing fruit, I'm walking in the Spirit. And when he does the clipping, you know what he's doing? He's cutting more of me away so the Spirit can grow spiritual fruit. And when he cuts away, it sometimes hurts. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes he uses a sickness or a trial or a difficulty in order to cut me away to let the Holy Spirit grow. So he says this, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So listen, you already have the word of God, so you're already saved. That's not what he's talking about. He says, once you're saved, you need to bear fruit. So here he says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. You see, if you go to a grapevine and you cut a branch and put it in your living room, you're not going to grow grapes. But if you leave it attached, you can come back and find grapes. So he says, you must be attached to me. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot. Verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branch. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nada. I got the Spanish translation. You can do nothing. Jump down to verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So you want to bear fruit, you have to stay connected to Jesus, which will allow you to walk in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, God will prune you. Sometimes your life can get what you think is harder or more difficult so that he can cut more of you away and allow the Holy Spirit to grow so that you grow in faith. Now watch this. Let's look at this list. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now stop right there. Another reason why the fruit of the Spirit is singular is because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Out of love flows joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The fruit of the flesh is many things. In fact, I'm going to read to you a couple other verses that have more to add to the list. Because there are many things. So it's multiple. But the fruit of the Spirit starts with one thing. Love. Love. If you have love, you'll have joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But let's break these down real quick. First of all, love. The word love here is agape, not a guppy. That's a fish. It's agape. Okay, agape. Now, agape means unconditional love, unmerited, just love. Now, remember when Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, and then Jesus came to him and said, Peter, after he was resurrected, Jesus came and said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me? Do you agape me, unconditionally love me? Peter, he responds this way, Jesus, I filio you, which means filio, like Philadelphia, brotherly love. Jesus was saying, do you unconditionally love me? And he knew he couldn't say that because he had just denied Jesus. So he goes, I brotherly love you, brotherly love. So Jesus asked him a second time, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know I filio you, brotherly love you. And then the third time, Jesus says this, Peter, do you even filio me? And Peter says, you know, I filio you. He knew. He didn't even have enough love to filio. But Jesus' love for Peter was total agape. Here's what the word here is, agape. So the fruit of the Spirit is agape. And you say, okay, great, Pastor Randy, what does that mean? That means to the Peters in your life, to the Peters and what, the Petras, the girls, I don't know, whatever, Patricias, the Peters and the Patricias that have hurt you and denied you and have not displayed love, you are to still love them. Because we often think of love as going up to those who love on us. It's like, hey, hey, you're such a cute sheep. But what this is saying is even love the wolves that want to devour you, the ones that want to hurt you. That's real love. And then here's the thing, joy. That's a very misunderstood. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is not, those are two different things. Listen, happiness is based on your circumstance. Joy is based on who God is. Remember when Jesus was in the boat? And all the disciples said, well, we're going to die. And Jesus was sleeping because he had peace. He had joy. It wasn't based on circumstances. You know, people come into church and they're like, I'm just so full of joy. And I go, psh, how about now? Well, not so much now. Gotta love me. What you had was happiness. Get that right. There's a difference. Listen, when we're happy because everything's going well, that's happiness. But joy is when everything is going wrong and you can say, God, I don't like this, but I trust you. You're a good God. You're awesome. You'll get us through this. That's joy. Which from joy comes peace. Peace. Notice Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. Listen to this. So let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. What Jesus was saying there is, you know when everything's going topsy-turvy and when your life feels like it's going crazy and you're afraid, I want to give you peace that surpasses understanding. And then we have long-suffering. There you go. That's the one that I bet every one of us suffers with. Get it? Long-suffering suffers? Okay. Has a difficulty with? Long-suffering. God is long-suffering. Are you long-suffering for those who hurt you, spitefully use you? Are you patient with them? Do you have a desire to see them come to faith? You know, people say all the time, you know, they've been saying for centuries that Jesus Christ should come back and he never comes. I said, that's because he's long-suffering. You know, back in 1988, there was a book they put out that said 88 reasons why they believe Jesus would come back in 1988 and he didn't come. I thank God he didn't come because I would have gone to hell. Because he's long-suffering, you and I had an opportunity to give our life to him. And right now, he's long-suffering because he's still waiting for more to come to salvation. But those people that you know that aren't saved, are you long-suffering with them? Are you ready not to give up on them, even when they hurt you? Whew. That's a tough one. Muse on that one for a while. Like kindness, we understand that. Acts of good. Goodness, that's, you know, faithfulness. There you go. That's one that's a huge one, especially in the church. Faithfulness. People will sign up for ministry. Okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. And they start serving. It's like, hey, pastor, I can't come in. I broke my nail this morning. It's like, what? I got a sniffle. Okay, but did you go to work? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to work for sure. But the Lord needs servants in his house. All right, how about this? You read your Bible? Do you pray? Are you faithful to God in that way? You share the love of Christ with others? Faithfulness. God is longing for those. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord search the earth for those who are faithful. Show themselves faithful so that he might show himself strong on their behalf. So everybody here, if I said, do you want to see God be strong on your behalf? Everybody say, yeah, I want God's power on my behalf, but I don't want to be faithful. You know, read my Bible every day. Pray, share with people I don't know about Jesus, serve in ministry, oh, please. And we looked at this, I think, last week or on Wednesday. You know, some people are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And some people are going to say, you can't come in here, go be well done. Gentleness, I suffer from this one. A lack. I'm like a bull in the china shop. It's like, get out of the way. Let me do that. Also, I really pray for your pastor. I don't always have tact. And you're like, no. We hear your teachings. You're totally tactful. Pray for me. I struggle with that. Self-control. Self-control. Self-control will cause me to read my Bible. Self-control will remind me to pray. Self-control will remind me to love as I've been loved and to forgive as I've been forgiven. Self-control will tell me, no, I'm not going to go over to Mojave Green because that would not bring God glory. Self-control causes me to say, you know what? That person needs Jesus. I'm going to tell them about him. What's missing in this list? Did you know there's something missing here that other churches fail to see? I don't know what churches, but other churches. You know what's missing? Here you go. Let me read this. But the fruit of the Spirit is speaking in the tongues. Do you see that there? I don't see it there. Convulsing, falling on the ground and convulsing. The fruit of the Spirit is prophesying. I don't see that. Do you? No, I see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not self-out of control, self-control. Now, I say this because inevitably I get calls on a regular basis. Hi, who am I speaking to? I'm like, Pastor Randy. Oh, you're the pastor. Great. Listen, we're thinking about coming to your church. So what time are your services? And blah, 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 blah. And I give them all the information. And one of the questions they inevitably ask me is your church Spirit-filled? We're not jelly-filled. I mean, we're Spirit-filled. But hold on a second. Are you Spirit-filled? Oh, yes. How do you know? Well, I speak in tongues, and I've been slain in the Spirit, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Would you do me a favor? You got a Bible there? Yes. Open to Galatians chapter 5. Can you show me where that shows up anywhere on the list of fruit of the Spirit? Listen, I pray. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe in prophecy. I believe in healing. I believe in all that. But I would rather be a church of 20 years and never have one person speak in tongues or prophesy, but have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control be the earmark of this church. Because that is the fruit of the Spirit. And so we are spirit filled. We are not jelly filled, although some people might argue with that. As I see this list, I'm reminded that it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we operate according to this list. And the only way I can operate according to this list, according to Jesus, is if I'm connected to Him. I can't go and say, all right, tomorrow I'm going to start loving and being joyful and at peace and long-suffering. I'm going to work on these. Guess what? I'm going to fail. Tomorrow I'm going to stop getting drunk and I'm going to stop smoking crack and I'm going to stop all that. I'm going to do it. Well, you might be able to do that, but you may do it in the flesh and not according to the Spirit. The important thing, brothers and sisters, is not that you focus on what you're struggling with, but that you focus on God and drawing closer to Him, and the rest will fall right neatly into place. Do me a favor. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show you some more stuff. We got time. We're doing good. We're almost done. This is good. There's another list, and there's some more insight that verifies what I've been telling you. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loves us and gave Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. In other words, don't let that stuff. You guys are saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness nor, look at this, nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting. You know what that is? That's telling dirty jokes. I'm sorry, folks. That's not pleasing to the Lord. If Jesus came to your work and was by the water cooler, you wouldn't say, hey, Jesus, I got a joke for you. You go, sir, how are you doing? I love you. Why is it that we feel, do you have Christ in you? The other kind of coarse jesting is when we put other people down for a joke. Not good. That's most common. And you know what? I'll tell you. This little thing, this little slab of meat in my mouth is wicked. Before, I used to tell jokes a lot anyways. And I like to cut people down as part of it. It was like part of the joke. And sometimes it comes out before I can think, and it's not good. What we say can tear someone down, can hurt someone. Why do you think God put such a wicked piece of meat behind a cage? He gave it a cage because it's wicked. James tells us it can kindle a fire that can burn down a forest. You can tear someone's life up with it. So listen, foolish talking, neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be a partaker with them. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. You are light. You're not to be doing dark things. Walk as children of light. Here you go. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, seek God through His Word and through prayer. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, I want to clarify something. Where it says expose them, some churches use that as an opportunity to become the Bible police. You're breaking the law. You're going to hell. You're not a Christian. How dare you? Listen, that's not the exposing it's talking. Remember he said, we are light. We're no longer darkness. If I come around someone who's in the dark, I expose them by bringing them into the light. But I don't bring them up here to the church. I don't say, hey, Billy Bob, come up here. See Billy Bob? He's a crack smoker. That's not the kind of exposing it's talking about. It's like going up to Billy Bob, man, let me pray for you, man. I love you. And you cover a multitude of sin, but you cover it with light, therefore exposing his sin and making the conviction come so that he too will one day be light. Do you get that? So don't ever take that in the wrong context. Listen, God is not, do you understand? God is not condemning God. We condemn ourselves by our actions. God tells us what is good and what's bad, and we choose to go for what's bad. And he's like, I didn't send you to hell. You rejected me. You didn't want me. You know, the Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why do we condemn each other when we're trying to expose? No, let's love each other. Let's encourage each other. When you do wrong, I'm going to come lovingly to you to try and restore you to a good walk with the Lord. And listen, if I do wrong, will you please come and restore me? Because I want my walk to be right with the Lord, don't you? Yeah. And how about this? And this is short. You don't have to turn there. It's a short one. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Isn't that good? Listen, there's the enemy within, and we have to put him in a cage, lock him up. We need to crucify the enemy and allow God to roam in our hearts. Look at verse 24. Here you go. Here's the encouragement. I love this. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, listen to this and listen closely. Understand this. If you are a believer here this morning and you have not crucified your flesh, then you've made, because you realize when you accepted God, the Holy Spirit came and resided in you. So if you have not crucified your flesh, then you have now made the Holy Spirit the enemy within. Because you're not wanting to do what he does. You want to do what you want to do. And so he's become the enemy and you've made friends with sin and the world. Isn't that spooky? It is to me. Listen, let the enemy be the enemy and let the Holy Spirit have free reign in our heart. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Remember that walk? Do people look at you and say, man, he walks with God. She walks with God. She's really seeking the Lord. He's really seeking the Lord. It's not just talk. That's really the desire of their heart. I just love that. Is that what people say about you? I pray they do. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. And you know what a conceited person does, right? They look in the mirror just to look at themselves. And think about how beautiful they are rather than looking at their flaws. Guess what? If you're beautiful out there, you have flaws too. Sorry. There's only one perfect, and his name was Jesus. He says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, conceited. You realize conceit is the opposite of true love, but yet conceit is love. Did you realize that? Conceit is love, but it's opposite of godly love. Just like the flesh is opposite of the Spirit, love can also be in conflict with itself. And you're like, what? I like John Calvin. He explains it really well. Let me read what he says. On the love of others and the love of ourselves, he says this. The two affections are opposite and contrary. For the love of ourselves begets a neglect and a contempt of others. So listen, you're going to love someone. If you love yourself, then everyone else takes a second seat, including God. But if you love God, then everyone else, you esteem them better than yourself, and you love them with a Christ-like agape love. I love this. Brothers and sisters, quit allowing your old nature to have reign. Let your old nature, recognize it to be the enemy and crucify him. And put Jesus on the throne and follow him. And you will then not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you give us these instructions. You don't just leave us to try and figure it out on our own or wonder why we fail sometimes. But you give us clear and concise instructions on how we can have a more faithful, a more productive, a more powerful Christian walk, spiritual walk. Father, I don't want to walk a religious walk. That's dead. But Father, I want to walk a powerful spiritual walk. I want to restore my brothers and sisters. I want to love those who hate me. I want to be an encouragement to the lost. Father God, I just want to be everything you would want me to be. And Lord, that takes my heart to be totally in surrender to your will and to walk your path according to your word, even when it goes against my very nature. Father, I'm reminded, Lord, right now as we're praying, Father, your word is echoing in my heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that I would lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge you, and you, Lord, will direct my path. Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, this afternoon. And I just pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't have a walk with you. Or Father, maybe there's someone who knows you and is a born-again believer, but Father, they're not walking in the Spirit. They've been walking in the flesh. And Father, most importantly, if there's someone here who's never surrendered to you and they know it, this morning they know. Coming to church doesn't mean we're surrendered to you, Lord. I know that in my own heart. I have to surrender daily to make you truly Lord. Father, if there's someone out there right now that has never surrendered their heart, would you have them raise their hand and say, I want Jesus this morning because I have not been walking with him. Is there anyone here? You know you need Jesus Christ this morning. Anyone at all? Now, Lord, as we have a good-sized room here, if there are any Christian believers who know, yes, they have walked in the light, but perhaps they've strayed. Perhaps they see the flaws and the errors that they weren't even paying attention to. Would you surrender that right now and just raise your hand and say, I need a better walk. I need a closer walk. Awesome. I love it. Praise God. Look at all the hands. It's so beautiful, Lord. Those hands are to you, not to me, not to a church, not to an altar. It's to you, Jesus. Because as we often sing, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Those chains of darkness, those chains that keep us in the prison, our own prison. Father, you set us free. Is there anyone else that needs to surrender? Oh, see your hands. Awesome, beautiful. More hands going up. That's so pretty. So gorgeous. To your glory, Jesus. To your glory. You alone are worthy, Father. Your blood has paid the price. Has freed us. Lord, it's so awesome to be free. To give up sins. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see you over there. Wonderful. Anyone else? Oh, God, you're so good. I see your hand also. Praise the Lord, right there in front. Beautiful. Father, you see these hearts. Father, I pray that none of these were emotional, but they were real surrender. Father, may you speak to our hearts. May we quiet ourselves down. May we listen. May we even go over this scripture again and be honest and see where our weaknesses are and give them to you, Father. And Lord, I thank you so much for the honesty that is flowing through this body right now. It takes a lot of humility to raise a hand. And so, Father, would you bless them in that? Father, we rejoice. Because, Father, my hands, both my hands and my feet were in the air if I could get them up. Lord, I'm so weak. God, I'm so weak. And it just blows my mind that you would use such a frail man. There's no power in me, Lord. There's only you, God. You are the power. You are the glory. You are the might. You are the love. You are the forgiveness, Lord. You are all that we need. God, I pray that there's not a single person in here that if they don't know you, that they would let that shame fall off of them and let that pride aside, and they would come over and talk to me or talk to someone and get prayer and surrender. No one is to leave here without knowing Jesus Christ. It will be the best day of your life, he promises. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.